to be the faithful and vibrant Church of Jesus Christ, there are what I consider to be five indispensable practices a church must embody. And we've been looking at them these past 4 weeks. First, Christ-like spiritual formation, becoming disciples of Jesus, guiding one another through a lifetime of formation in the way of Jesus. The second is intentional worship, gathering as God's people to pray together and offer our lives to God in the hopes of a week by week, year by year transformation into the people God created us to be. The third is the practice of radical welcome. Because we believe that all persons are created in the image of God and that Christ is found in every person, we seek to provide a place of love and welcome to all people. And we aim to welcome every stranger and guest as if they were Christ Himself, because they are. Fourth is the practice of risk-taking service, continuing our worship beyond the walls of the sanctuary, being a church for the world in the name of Christ, risking ourselves for the most vulnerable in our community. All of these are made possible with God's help by the practice, fifth practice we consider today, holistic generosity, with every church member sharing their spiritual gifts, serving in the church and serving in the community, as well as sharing their financial gifts for the work and ministry of the church. God works through people and their resources to do God's work in the world. It's as simple as that. It's as essential as that. And more than ever, the world needs the church to be the faithful, to be the faithful and life-giving, doing God's work to meet the real needs of the world. Paul says the church is the body of Christ, a body in which every part does its part. We give of who we are and what we have because we're grateful to be a part of the body of Christ and we long to fulfill God's dream for the world. The church at Corinth was complaining about who was giving their share and who was not. Paul tries to help them out. He says to them, "I want you to understand how the church is supposed to work. People outside the church pay attention to things that don't really matter. But inside the church, we're to give ourselves to something bigger than we are. Something as big as the kingdom of God. We have different talents, different ministries, different gifts, but they all come from the same God. They all belong to God, and the Spirit works through all of them for God's purposes. God uses what God has given in order to build up the church and bind up the wounds of the world. When members of the church don't share their gifts, everyone suffers. When we do share God's gifts, we become God's church, the living, breathing body of Christ." Preaching about giving is a tender thing in any congregation. I waited till my 12th sermon. It's a tender thing in any congregation that holds a wide range of incomes. For some people, money and the weekly budget brings worry and pain. I will not lay any heavy burdens on you. Jesus warned religious leaders away from such. And when I talk about generosity, I'm not talking only about being generous with our money. I use the words holistic generosity. It's about the generosity of the self, being generous with our lives, not only with what we have, but with who we are. Your most important gift to this church is you. And generosity can be the time you give or in the gifts and talents you bring. If you've been blessed financially, that's an important way that you can help with the flourishing of the church. And part of the covenant we make with one another is to do what we can, what we feel led by God to do in the financial part of our life together. I've often thought of raising money in church like those barn raisings you may have seen, where everyone in the community comes together, young and old, bringing whatever they have to build a neighbor's barn. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Some are hauling water, some up on the roof, some bringing lunch, some nailing or sawing, but everyone's involved doing what they can. Reminds me of how the book of Acts describes the early church, those early Christians, and how they understood their relationship with money. Luke says, "No one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common." That doesn't ring so sweetly to the ears of us American Christians, does it? In Paul's work with the Corinthian church, he was, as he often did, taking up an offering for the poor in Jerusalem. He did it everywhere he went. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth about joining in on this offering, he says to this church he knows well, "Some poorer churches than you in Macedonia have given to help the poor in Jerusalem, and I hope you will too." And then he closes with this appeal. He says, "There's so many things you do well. You excel in so many gifts and graces of the Spirit, faith, speech, knowledge, eagerness to do good works. We want you to excel in the grace of giving as well." Paul explains to the Corinthian church why we practice generosity. He does it in what some scholars say is a hymn. Kind of sounds like an offertory hymn. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Now, this is no prosperity gospel preacher's promotion. Paul is simply saying that God is the source and inspiration of all generosity. It all begins in the generosity of God. To use an old church word, we're talking about stewardship. One image of stewardship is that of caretaking, like a farmer's caretaking of the land. Today, we're talking about the caretaking of the church we've been given. It's about all of us offering our strengths and resources to the church, whatever those strengths and resources are. I see so many of you each and every week engaged in the generosity of your lives to help build this church, to teach our children, to sustain its vital mission and witness in our community. If you haven't been a part of that yet, I encourage you to join in. It's how we thrive together as a congregation. And in terms of financial stewardship, I want to share just a few biblical principles that I believe can help us as the church thrive. They're not commands, as Paul said, but principles. When Paul took up the offering in Corinth, he says, "I do not say this as a command. I'm giving my opinion about this," Paul will say. The first principle he offers is that of proportional giving, giving according to what you have. The biblical standard some of us grew up with was the measure of the tithe, or one-tenth of our income. My guess is that many of Bindwell's first generation of members, as well as many of you, grew up with this standard of giving and sought to give a tithe to the church. It's that kind of giving that's helped the church thrive even to this day. I don't necessarily think of the tithe as a legalistic measure of our giving or a litmus test measure of our devotion to the church. But I do like the principle of proportional giving. That is, giving some percentage of what we've received. If you presently do not give, you most likely could not start out giving a tenth of what you have. You may want to start out with 1%, or 3%, or 4%, and then as you're able, challenge yourself to grow each year, maybe by a percent at a time. You can even measure your growth in generosity. It can even feel good to become a generous person. As my son has begun to make money on his own, he's found the giving at Christmas to be just as exciting as the receiving. It can feel good to be a generous person. It can feel safe to be a stingy one. But it can feel joyful to be a generous one. A second biblical principle is the notion of first fruits on the first day of the week. That's how Paul coined it. First fruits began as an agrarian practice. People brought the first and best fruits of their garden or their livestock to God, not the tail end. A worthy gift is what they wanted to offer. These gifts came first. On the first day of the week was what the early Christians practiced in Sunday worship. They decided what they were giving to God first. They took up an offering every Sunday. Nowadays, many of us don't even write checks. I think the check to the church is the only one we write. Many of us give monthly or quarterly, maybe even giving through our website or by a bank draft. But what then can the Sunday morning offering mean? And what could we do to make it mean more? Heard of a woman in a church that never gave when the offering plate was passed on Sunday morning. But every Sunday, she would say in a stage whisper to those nearby, "I mailed mine in." What can we do to make the offering more than just something we do every Sunday because we've always done it that way? By the way, if you give monthly or quarterly, I wouldn't want to change that. God receives money however it comes, okay? But, you know, we could decide to put something in the offering plate each week, whether it's your check for the church or maybe a $1 bill or $5 bill or some change. I know of one church that decided all loose offerings would go to benevolence. That is, helping the poor in the community who perhaps came by during the week in need of food or drink. Some worried that would take away from the budget offering, but it actually had the opposite effect. It made the offering more real, and they loved to hear the clinking sound in the offering plate every Sunday. Evelyn Underhill was a British mystic and scholar. She wrote a classic on worship. She wrote about every dimension of worship, symbols, words, liturgy, music, but concluded with these striking words, "Worship is summed up in sacrifice." The offering, she wrote, is the way we unite our small gifts and sacrifices to the eternal giving and sacrifice of God and Christ. It's the way we share in the generosity of God. God poured out God's own life for us in Christ. Now we become the poured out church for each other and for the world around us. Throughout most of the history of Christian worship, the offering has come after the sermon, a practice that made the offering the culmination of worship, an offering not just of our money, but of our full selves to God. In many churches today, as the offering comes back down the aisles, people stand and the doxology is sung, ringing through the congregation, the response of the whole person and the whole congregation to God. Offerings can be made in a variety of ways. One other principle Paul lays out as he took the offering in Corinth is another agrarian example. He says, if one sows sparingly, one reaps sparingly. If one sows bountifully, one reaps bountifully. In other words, don't be stingy with the seeds. You'll get a disappointing harvest, like every farmer knows. But however you give, Paul would want us to keep in mind these words. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know the difference between the feeling of being drawn and being pushed? God wants us to give as if we are being drawn to give, not pushed. The kingdom is not advanced by grouchy givers. That word, cheerful, comes from the Greek word hilaron, from which we get our word hilarious. God loves hilarious givers. Like the way lovers give to the one they love, joyfully, extravagantly, wishing only they had more to give. Gospel giving is glad giving. God will use the money from a grump, but God loves a cheerful giver. And your cheerful, generous giving makes possible so much in and through the church. Like any family, the church has its costs, has its needs that cost money. A sacred home for worship and prayer and Bible study and fellowship. Office expenses. New ministries, teaching materials, salaries for staff, basic utilities, all of which enable the church to fulfill its larger mission. The church is a community that supports and strengthens its members and reaches out in love to the world, especially the poor and most vulnerable. The church is a home of worship where people gather to praise and glorify God by offering their lives to God. The church is a ministry center, one that shapes and renews people's lives as we love one another and love our neighbors as ourselves. Your support enables the church to share the message of Christ and make God's love a reality for everyone. Your support enables the church to care for people and minister to those in need in our community and throughout the world. Your support strengthens the church and can bring about significant change in families, in communities, and in throughout the whole world, providing hunger relief or shelter for the homeless, promoting peace, justice, and concern for all God's creation. The church needs you and me to be faithfully generous with our time, our money, our abilities, and our willingness to serve. Supporting the church is a way to put Christian values and your faith into action. As support for our church grows, so does its ability to serve. God uses our giving as essential to the success of the church's ministry. As Peter wrote in his first letter, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. As God's steward, we're called to the wise use of God's gift, managing our personal finances wisely, using God's gifts to serve others. By giving to the church, you put your resources back in God's hands to be used as God's prayerful people together see fit. It's essential for the health of any church that each of us give the gift of ourselves, our own unique gifts and talents to offer. Through the church, You can use your own unique gifts and abilities to minister to people who are sick or homebound, help people deal with life changes, reach out to people of different backgrounds, work to repair social injustices, nourish others spiritually, enable our church to be an even more caring community. You can give through weekly offerings for special ministry needs, with bequests in your will to our endowment that enables future ministry. Just remember, the question is not, how much should I give? The question is, am I giving all I can? Faithful, generous giving symbolizes and helps express our commitment to Christ and His church. It's a sign of our gratitude to God for all the gifts we've received throughout our lives. It helps accomplish the church's mission. It allows the church to plan for expenses and carry out ministries and help those in need. Faithful, generous giving is a way of loving, helping, and growing. Through giving, we show our love for God and humanity, and we receive God's love. Faithful, generous giving can help enrich our lives. Through giving, we offer ourselves in service and devotion to God. We become stronger in faith, more aware of others' needs, and we experience the joy of sharing with others in the name of Christ. And every penny counts. A friend of mine once pastored a large church in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. They decided to build a magnificent new pipe organ to the glory of God, one that would be worthy of the gifts of someone like Ann Caldwell, whom we so gratefully get to hear each week. The goal was to raise between $2 and $3 million to accomplish the dream. Near the end of the campaign, my friend, the pastor, rose to announce the exciting totals to date. He said, $1,961,420.17. As he made his way to the pulpit, he said he debated whether or not to announce the full total or round it off. He decided to announce every penny. After the service, a young boy came up to him in the foyer and tugged on his sleeve and said, "That was my 17 cents." He was so glad he didn't round it off. God does not round it off. Every person is important. Every gift counts. Every gift matters. Always. And so for worship today, we place the offering at the end of worship. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider your gifts of self and the gifts of your possessions and how you might offer them toward the work and ministry of the church. What are you feeling called to do? Where are you feeling called to serve? What are you feeling led to give? You will find in your bulletin, if you open it up on the right panel, a space for you to write how you feel God leading you to give in whatever way you feel led. I want us to take just a brief moment of silence and prayerfully consider how we might offer ourselves. about it, perhaps through the entire season of Lent might be a good Lenten practice for you. But perhaps this morning you are one who first needs to offer your life to Christ, to decide to follow Him and be baptized. Or perhaps God is leading you to make a commitment of yourself and your resources to this congregation to join us as we seek to more faithfully serve the world around us. We're not a perfect place, but we do have a heart to serve, and we'd love to have you join us. Our hymn of response this morning is hymn number 668. As we stand and sing together, may we respond as God's Spirit leads.